When I came to this church 21 years ago, I had no idea what I was doing, and I had no idea what I was getting into. And they had no idea what they were getting into. And it was a great time where God gave this church to me as a gift to grow me up and to mature me and to contribute to the man that I have and am continuing to become. So you guys are a gift to me, and I thank you for that. But in the midst of that transition for me and for this church, God delivered to this district a man for the position that we call district superintendent. I know it doesn't mean a whole lot to us because we're fairly autonomous. But his role was to come alongside churches in the EFCA in the Pacific Northwest District and just walk with us and to lead us. And that man's name was Brad Barshaw, and he came up here from Hawaii to Paradise. Here is Paradise. And he and I struck up a friendship, and he became my mentor. And he's the one who kept me in ministry when I wanted to leave. He kept me in ministry when I said, I cannot stay. He kept me here, and he was God's instrument in my life. And he was here from 95 to about 2000, 2001, thereabouts. And God used him in my life and in the life of this district. And he moved back to Hawaii. That's the other lesser Paradise, and he has since retired from his church there and the ministry there, and he has moved back to the Pacific Northwest. He and his wife and his family, John, his son, and why don't we just have Anita and John stand wherever you guys are. I don't have my glasses. There you are, right there. It's great to have them back. And Brad and I re-upped our relationship last October. So he is known in Hawaii as Papa Brad. He is known to me personally as Papa Brad. And since I was in Southern California all week, I thought, I can't think of a better man to come and to bring to you all the Word of God than someone who is very much a father in the faith to me. So let's welcome him, Brad Barshaw.
Good morning. Can I stand down here?
You sure can.
You sure? Can you guys see me okay if I stand down here? Okay. In Hawaii, anybody know what the greeting in Hawaii is? Okay, yeah, we'll try it. It's aloha.
Aloha.
Oh, very, very, very good. Anybody know what the word aloha means? No, it has a very cool meaning. Alo is the word for face in the Hawaiian language, and ha is the word for breath or life. And so in the Hawaiian greeting, like with my staff guy who's half Hawaiian, when we greet, we put our foreheads face to face and we breathe into one another's face, the breath of life. So it means to breathe life. And that's what the body of Christ really is all about, right? To breathe life, to let the Spirit breathe the Father's life through each one of us. So it's great to be here. As Martin was sharing this morning about the tragedy, it kind of brought to mind, my brother has a ministry in Haiti, and he's got about four orphanages, and he's working with about 50 pastors right now. And he just got back last Tuesday, but just before he got back, he took a team of mission people through one of the more dangerous parts called Cirque du Soleil. And he admitted afterwards he made a mistake, because election year is here, and everybody shoots everybody down there. Just through their short walk through, five people were shot in that area. So when we hear about tragedies, just remember it's a tragedy, but the entire world is experiencing the same thing. And so desperately needs us to not just be nice people, but to really be salt and light, which means we have to get out there as well as gather here. This is kind of the place where we become saltier and hopefully the heat has turned up and we've become a little bit more light. But then we got to get out of the salt shaker, right? And so I'm just praying for me as I, by the way, I'm not retired. I'm just redefining myself, slowing down a little bit. But my passion in this season of my life is Psalm 71:18. It says, even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I communicate your power to the next generation. So my goal right now is to kind of be out of the lead role and just be somebody who comes alongside. And so appreciate the opportunity to be here. What day is today? Father's Day. Yeah. So everybody, all the fathers, would you please stand up? Grandfathers. Even in Hawaii, we have Hanaid fathers, adoptive fathers, those who, you know, kind of like uncles and stuff. In fact, everybody in Hawaii that's a male is called an uncle. So anyways, could we just pray for you guys? Father in heaven, you know the role that you've given us as men, and it is way, way, way beyond our pay grade. So Father, I just pray that you would bless and anoint each one of us, that we would stay learners, that we would stay in the place where we're learning from you how to be a dad, how to be a man, how to be a husband. And so, Lord, I just pray for your special anointing on each guy, that wherever they are, you would help them move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was thinking about Father's Day and how do we do Father's Day and what do we do? And you know, Father's Day is a day to remember. But that's not all good memories, is it? Father's Day is a day to kind of appreciate. But that sometimes is really hard as well, depending on the background and where you've come from, because there are no perfect guys. And then it's also a time to commit as men to learn how to become better, as women knowing how to nudge guys forward to be what God meant them to be, and even as kids, to know how to pray for your dad. I remember some of the coolest things ever said to me were from my kids. Hurt like crazy. I remember sitting in the garage when I was a DS, and my oldest son was in there, and I was traveling all over Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and my son came and said, you know, Dad, you always talk about keeping your priorities straight and, you know, valuing your family and keeping things balanced. You're not doing a great job right now. That happened about 17 years ago. I remember that today very clearly. And I'm very, very grateful that I didn't get defensive and brush him off. And so as I was thinking about Father's Day, I was just thinking about how do we celebrate this well? How do we go in so we become better men, women, and children? You know, and I was thinking, you know, the only hope we have is not in ourselves, right? It's in the only perfect Father. And only as I connect to Him in greater and greater and greater ways, beyond religion, beyond knowledge, but relationally, that's the only hope I have of becoming the kind of man, becoming the kind of woman, becoming the kind of child that can make a difference in this world. And so I thought today we would just kind of celebrate Father's Day for him. And we would do two things. Number one, do you know what the Father's Day prayer is? Jesus taught us how to pray the Father's Day prayer, by the way. Let me pray it, and you can pray along with me in your hearts. Father in heaven, hallowed, treasured, valued, exalted be your name. Ah, your kingdom, your will of love and justice, forgiveness and truth, come and be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, begin with us. And Father, give us today what we need to live for your glory and your kingdom, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever kind of bread we need today, Lord. And Father, Because we're flawed, forgive us for our sins. As you teach us how to forgive those who've sinned against us. And Father, so many temptations out there, so many rabbit trails. Lead us not into temptation, Father, but deliver us from the ultimate deceiver and liar and destroyer, the evil one. And Father, we can pray this with confidence because yours is the glory, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I'd like us just to do a little bit of just refreshment. You know, one of the things you're supposed to do on Father's Day is kind of remember and think back and kind of reposition. So we're going to look at Psalm 103. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at that. It's one of my favorite Psalms. And then we're going to talk just briefly about, that's what pastors always say, right? Just briefly, talk about the character of our Father, the commitment of our Father, and then the journey that our life looks like when we're walking with Him, which is really messy. And it's such a beautiful passage. So let's begin. First of all, kind of with the character of our Father. Is there going to be some scripture up there? Oh, it's right. Oh, all right. I love this. Praise the Lord. David is kind of talking to himself. Because sometimes we just need to say, get your brain off of all the other things that you're being preoccupied with. Praise the Lord, what? My soul. Not just my hands, not just my voice. May it come from my innermost being. All my inmost being. Praise His holy name. What does holy mean? Yeah, it means to set apart something, right? And sometimes we set apart things. How many of you have holy golf clubs? Holy motorcycles? Yeah. Holy fishing gear, a holy kitchen, holy flowers. I mean, it just means to set apart, right? We set apart those things that are special, that are valuable to us. So from our standpoint, it means God is supposed to be treasured. Hallowed be thy name. What does that mean in the prayer we prayed? It means holy. It means treasured. It means valued. It means passionate about. God, make that true. May you be my biggest treasure. And for God, He's not holy because we set Him apart. He's holy because He is so radically different than you and I. He's just different. LeBron James, Stephen Curry, they're just different. They're just set apart. You know, in our world, in this world, it means God is so set apart, nothing imperfect, nothing flawed is a part of Him. He's whole in every part of who He is. And because He's whole, He is the source of all our wholeness. He's the only one that can make me whole. He's the only one that can give me what I need. And so it says, let Him be set apart as the most treasured person in your life. Because that's who He is. I like to think of holy as not as H-O-L-Y, not just as holy, but as W-H-O-L-L-Y. He's whole. Nothing lacking in any area. And He says, let me take care of you through your life. Let all the wholeness I have be yours. One of the beautiful pictures I see is when Jesus talks about coming to Him and drinking from Him, because when you drink from Him, which is cascading from the Father, it says not only does into your life come living water, but what does it also say? out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That is, it's not just for me, but it's going to cascade into the lives of people around me. Not because of what I do, but just because of who I am. A channel of the Father's grace. But it starts with me setting apart time to value Him and to grow in that value. And then it flows into this amazing commitment He has to you and I. Oh my gosh. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all His benefits. How many of you guys become forgetful? You know, I forget all the time. And it says, don't forget. What happens when we forget? We lose perspective. We become ungrateful. We come dissatisfied. But it says, don't forget. So let's do a little bit of kind of going back through. So as we go through, I want you to personalize it. Who forgives? All. What's the word? All of your sins. The cool thing about the word forgive, it means to lift off of and take away. Think back. What has God, maybe there's a specific thing that was just huge in your life. Maybe you carried the burden far longer than you ever needed to. But you're sitting here today, forgiven for that. And everything else, even the stuff you can't forgive yourself for, He wants to lift it off and take it away. And He heals all your diseases. Now, that's a promise. For the future, right? I mean, I'm not going to be healed of all my diseases down here. Every once in a while, God does some amazing healing, and He's probably done healing in each one of your lives, mentally, emotionally, or physically, but the best is yet to come. Because there is going to be a time when we enter the new world, and what's it going to be like? No more sorrow, no more pain, no more illness, no more death. He is going to do it. But along the way, He does it too, right? Think back. Think of a time when you were in depression, addiction, life-threatening situation. I don't know about you, but I'm not here. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for God's grace. Just stop Him and say, thank you, Father. Oh, I forgot. Who redeems your life from the pit? How many of you have ever been in a pit? Emotionally, spiritually, maybe you grew up in an abusive pit home. Maybe you're in a pit of a job situation. I don't know. When was the last time you thanked God for taking you out of the pit? I went into burnout. When I was 40, it was a pit. I thought I was dead emotionally. I actually recovered up here at Mount Rainier. And I remember telling the Father, it was the first day of me staying up there for about a month and a half, and picked up this little stick, and we were right on the White River, and it was gorgeous, and elk were walking across, and the trees were green, and I picked up this little stick, this little dry stick, the bark was falling off, and I said, you know, If you can't do something with something that's dead, then I'm dead meat. And it was really cool. I went back and I began to open the Word, and the Word was kind of, I was having a hard time having it mean anything to me. You ever been there? And God in His sovereignty, I was in Psalm 57, and I started reading Psalm 57, and verse 2 says, "And I cried out to the Lord Most High, to the God who will fulfill His purpose for me." And I remember writing in that beginning of my journal, I said, okay, if this is true, I've got hope. If it's not, I'm dead meat. I'm standing here today because it's true. He took me out of the pit. He delivers me from the pit. And he crowns you with love and compassion. Martin was telling me one of the themes in this church is we're not orphans. We're not abandoned. We've been embraced by the Father. And that's what this saying is, as God looks at you, he's going, whoa, my compassion, my love, my commitment is I love you so, so much. We have three adopted kids. We have three non-adopted kids. But we love them all the same. It's not about blood. It's about heart. He's crowned you with love and compassion. How many of you feel that? Sometimes. How many of you feel that all the time? Okay, we got one person who's made a breakthrough. I don't feel that all the time. That's cool. I'm glad. I mean, I love that. But I kind of grew up in a more conservative church culture. Good. And I will always be grateful. Taught me the value of the Word and the wisdom of the Word. But I remember, even through seminary and first as a pastor, the church I was at, you guys would know the guy's name, but anyways, I was on staff, and he taught the standards of God beautifully. The problem is, every time I go away from church, I'm going, okay, God, this is your standard. You must be shaking your head 24/7 going, someday, Brad, you'll get it, and I'll be proud of you. I don't know if you've ever heard that voice in your head. It wasn't God's voice, by the way. And I wrestled with that. I was going, God, this is your standard, but I'm so far away. One of the core verses in this Psalm 103, I'll jump down. Can you go down one more shot down there? He will not always accuse us. Now, are those times he rebukes us, right? Why? Because it's necessary. Man, when I'm doing something that's dangerous to myself, he's going to get in my face. Not to condemn me, but to draw me back toward that which is life. I remember one time I was walking down toward the beach, and I had come away from a Sunday, and somebody had really gotten in my face, and I was walking toward the beach, and I'm going, God, that was, boy, what am I going to do about that lady? Oh, man, I'm so mad. And I felt like the Father kind of put his arm around me, and he goes, you know, Brad, she wasn't perfect, but you blew it too. In fact, you blew it more than she did. He says, you know, why don't you just own that, learn from it, and get back to life with me? It wasn't about condemnation. It was about conviction and restoration. That's God's heart. And here's the coolest thing. He does not treat us our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is love for those who fear him. How high is that? How high are the heavens above the earth? How far is the sun, which is just kind of, in Hawaii we call it manini. It means small. It's a small distance compared to the universe. How far is the sun from us? 93 million miles. How about the closest star cluster in our galaxy? It's 4.7 light years away. You want me to tell you what that means for those of you who are mathematically? One light year is 5.88 trillion miles. I can't even compute that. Multiply that by 4.7, and you just started to enter the universe. And so God removes our sins from us as high as the heavens. There's no limit. He's never coming back and saying, oh, by the way, do you remember? Now, we do that to each other, right? But God doesn't. And if that memory is coming up, it's not the Father. Or it's because God wants to remind you how He did some good things to you before, and He can do it again. For as far as the east is from the west, so far as removed our transgressions from us. As high as the heavens, as far as how far east do you have to go to start going west? Never happens. Never happens. All right, keep going. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust. Let me go back to the analogy, God being always disappointed. This scripture changed my life. Because all of a sudden, he says, he loves us as a father loves his children. So I'm going, so how do I love my kids? Well, I have the standard. I know what I want them to be. But then this memory of my oldest son, he's standing at the coffee table and he's learning how to walk. You know, and it's his first time and he's doing this thing. And he takes a step and he lets go. And then he falls. What's my response as a father? Am I applauding the step or am I discouraged by the fall? I'm applauding the step. I know it takes time to learn and get there. Failure is a part of falling forward, right? If you're going to fall, at least fall forward. At least make it count. So here's the gold. The Father is committed to getting us here. We will all get there and one day look just like Jesus. I don't know how he's going to do that. That's a miracle. But he also understands this is where I am in my development. And he measures me from the bottom up, not from the top down. Does that make sense to anybody here? That is, he looks at the new steps I'm taking, the scary things I'm doing, even if it involves fear on my part, even if it means falling forward. He's excited when I give it my best shot. I remember when I was like 10 years old, maybe younger, and my dad had me on the 1 meter board and he wanted me to learn how to do a flip. And I'm going, oh, can't do that, Dad, can't do that. Hey, man, I'm with you. I'm right down here. It's okay. And so I flip halfway around. And I belly flop. And what does my dad do? Oh, man, I can't believe you can't even flip. No. He goes, awesome. Great try. You'll get it. You will get it. Get back up there. That's our Father. That's our Father. One of the pictures I have of what it's like to journey with the Father is, again, when I was 10 years old, my dad took me on my first backpacking trip. And any of you backpack around here? So I'm a 10-year-old kid. I throw on this thing, man, we're walking through the woods. This is cool. And then we have to go through the switchback that is dry. And I'm tired. And sometimes when I say, okay, let's rest. Oh, come on, Brad, you can do this thing. You can do this thing. And it's kind of messy. And I started to whine and complain. He's still stuck with me. He says, okay, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And I'm going, what's the point? This is terrible. This is just rocks and dirt. I'm sure none of you ever say that to the Father. And he keeps pushing me, he keeps pushing me, and I'm stinking tired, and my legs are wobbling, and I'm having to carry this pack. And finally we crest this thing, and all of a sudden there's this amazing tree-surrounded lake called Shadow Lake. I still remember it. And I went, oh, thank you, Dad, for not letting me have my own way. And And so my picture, if I can leave one with you this morning, is remember who your Father is. He's going to forgive all your sins. He's going to heal all your diseases. He's going to get you out of every pit. He's going to crown you with compassion. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. We have bald eagles where we're sitting right now. And I love that. Oh, man. Whew, just soar. And he measures you from the bottom up. If you hear anything that's condemning, it's not from the Father. The Father will speak words of conviction, but it's specific and it's ordered to restore you to a relationship and the walk with Him. Condemnation, which is general, is always from the evil one. So as we celebrate Father's Day, man, what hope that we have a father like this one. That he knows we are but dust. By the way, can I tell you a real quick funny story? And I hope you're not offended by it. If you are, forgive me. So this little kid is sitting in this very formal church. And the pastor's getting up there and he's going in, "Oh, Father, thank you for loving us, even though we are but dust." And the little boy goes, "Mom, what's butt dust?" Sorry. But I just want to let you know that and I'm still learning myself that I love doing life with my Father. It's a backpacking trip. It's ugly. It's imperfect. But he's committed to get me to Shadow Lake or heaven. And so no matter where you are right now, maybe there's a sin he's poking on you, he wants to forgive. But you're kind of defending yourself. He'll wait till you're done defending yourself. He's committed more than you are. He's more stubborn. Maybe there's a disease you're just wrestling with. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe you've got cancer, and they say it's terminal. Well, in this life, it is terminal. How many of you are terminal here, by the way? Every single one of us. You have an expiration date on your bottom of your heel. Days have already been numbered. But the good news is, the end of the story is, I'm healed of every disease. And he crowns me with love and compassion. And he understands we're butt dust. But he says, let me heal you and let me work through you in ways beyond anything you could do as a father, as a man, as a woman, as a child. Happy Father's Day. Let's pray the Father's Day prayer again. Our Father, who art in heaven. You are the King. You are sovereign. Hallowed be your name in my life, in my family's life, in our world, God. And Lord, your kingdom come, your rule, your influence come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. And Father, give us today what we need to hallow your name and to live for your kingdom. And Father, forgive us for our sins as you teach us how to forgive those who sin against us. And Father, lead us not into temptation, protect us. And give us victory over the evil one. For yours, Father, is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever.
Happy Father's Day. Amen.